And we've had the privilege to hear her during the first service and a question and answer in the second service. And now for her to kind of give a summary of ministries and just talk about what's happening in San Felipe. And it's very exciting for me anytime our missionaries come. But today is very exciting for me because not only is Bonnie here representing 99 plus one, but also Danielle and Carla, who are their right-hand people. And their children have been here too today, Alejandra and Danielle and Juanito. And they've already gone home for the afternoon. I'm sorry that you can't meet them. But Bonnie, why don't you come? And she's going to summarize and tell us about some really significant things with her ministry and tie together how they work with Danielle and Carla also. So welcome them, would you, right now?
It's always fun to be at Pioneer Church. I've been here a lot lately, partly because of my friend in Shingle Springs. But this time, John is in Haiti doing John stuff, so I'm on vacation, and I brought Danielle and Carla with me so you could all meet people that we work with and have worked with since the beginning of 99 plus 1. There's been a lot of different things happening in San Felipe, but sometimes you have to just ask somebody else, you know, what's going on, you know, what's different, you know, what's happening. And Danielle's been my chauffeur, and so I've been sitting in a passenger seat, and so I can ask him anything I want because he can't get away. He has to answer and have conversation with me. So I asked him. He's been with us since the very first year that we started 13 years ago. And so I wanted his perspective on what's the difference between 99 plus 1 now and when we started. And what he said was, as near as I could translate what he said, was when we started 99 plus 1, we came from Mexican Medical and we were programmed. We did things that we had always done with Mexican Medicals. We continued that format. And we did VBSs and construction, a little bit of evangelism through different types of events. And that was our program. And that's what we did for many years. But over the years, that has changed, probably within the last 4 years, maybe five. And we are not as programmed anymore. We are more of involvement, one-on-one type things with people. It started with the Serenity House, of course, with our old people. We have six now that are in the house with us. And it became more of a one-on-one type ministry. It's been our goal that if our seniors were not Christian when they came, that they would be when they left. And our 24/7 caregivers are very strong, very faithful Christians. It's Danielle's mom and dad. And we're blessed to have them on site, in place, when the time came that we needed 24/7 caregivers. God is good like that. So, and they're very strong Christians. And so every day, you know, they have Christian witnesses around them to encourage them. And so far, everyone that has passed away in our home has been a Christian. And so we have one that we are working on. And we don't, some days we think he's a really neat Christian. Other days we think he's not. But he can't talk to us. And on good days we really believe that he does have Jesus in his heart. He just has a lot of frustrations not being able to talk or walk or anything. And that comes out in different behaviors. But one of the most exciting things that have happened in the last 5, 6, 7 months is in sports, in soccer, which was kind of just given to us. Last September, the founder of the Christian Soccer League in San Felipe asked John to come to a meeting, and in front of all the leaders of the soccer league, presented John with control and leadership of the league, just gave it to him. And I got to tell you that John knows as much about soccer as he does about building an orphanage. Because we had been asked and we hadn't given an answer several months before, but now it was ours. And so, but then again, God had people already in place because Danielle had been part of this Christian League since the beginning 5 years ago and was now the secretary or treasurer. And so we had people already in place that did know what to do with the soccer league. And so it continued. But what John discovered in attending the meetings now every Monday is the leadership of the teams over the past 5 years were not Christian. And so that impacted any original goals of the Christian Soccer League because the leadership was not there. And so he began to go to the games, and he would watch different things that would happen among the kids during the games and how the leaders handled that. And it wasn't a good testimony in many cases. And so John would come back the following Monday, and he would say, this game, this happened, and this is how it was handled, and you guys did not do a good job in presenting Christ through your behavior. How can you expect the kids to change if they don't see it in the leadership? And so he would take whatever happened, and he says, this is how it could have been handled, and give them the biblical reference for that. And so slowly, over the past few months, we have seen changes in the leadership. They have a great respect for John. He gets to talk first and get, you know, that whole thing presented. Whether they're accept or really good about that or not, they have given John the respect of giving him the time, and they are listening, and things are happening, and things are changing. Just recently, the mayor is new. It changed this year, and San Felipe has a new sports committee. Now, this is a committee that oversees all the sports of San Felipe. And Danielle is president, and John is treasurer. And so we have two Christians that are in a very, very significant position now in San Felipe. Now, neither one of them know that I really am the one that's in control because I control the money. But I let them think they're in control. But he's the president, John's the treasurer of the city committee, and then of the Christian League, it's reversed. John's the president and Danielle's the treasurer. So, but the impact that it's been having on the youth of San Felipe is just so amazing. But it comes from having that one-on-one involvement with the boys, the kids that are playing, and knowing them. I mean, really knowing them. I shared the story that Danielle shared with me about Jimmy. When we started 5 years ago, he was the angriest, most aggressive, most powerful soccer player that we probably had in the league. He also got more yellow cards than anybody else. And so Danielle befriended him to the point of almost being a father image. Jimmy comes from a family of 8 people, 7 kids with 7 different fathers. And so there was never a father figure in his life. And so now he is a young teenager, and he has a lot of aggression. He's got a lot of anger. He's got a lot of frustration. He's got a lot of misdirection. And so after he gets the second yellow card, Danielle would walk out onto the field, put his arm around him, and take him off the field before he got the red card. But it was more the attention, the involvement that he had with him to calm him down, to show him there's another way to deal with his anger, this frustration. And it's that one-on-one involvement that Danielle has with our players that has made a significant impact in their lives. Jimmy now is They sponsor him so he can go to high school. High school in San Felipe is not free. It costs about $200 a semester, plus your uniforms and books. And so they encouraged Jimmy to go to high school because that's the only way he was going to change his future, was to get an education. And they have other stories of people that, kids that have been impacted, you know, that by the whole Christian atmosphere. And it's probably the most exciting thing that is happening right now with us in San Felipe is the opportunity to minister, to teach, to mentor people through soccer. Now, we didn't ask for that. We certainly didn't go out and look for it. Danielle was already involved in it. But what I want you to know about Danielle is he's the only person in our ministry that has been with us from the very beginning. He's been with us for 13 years. Now, if you subtract that from how old you think he is, he was probably 24, 25 when he came to San Felipe. He came from Mexico City, and he got a call from us, from Adrian, who was our evangelist at the time, and was asked to come and do our music when we started our ministry. Which is interesting in itself that we even started a music ministry, because John and I know nothing about anything except how to turn a radio on. And we started as a music ministry. But Danielle responded to the call to come and work with people he didn't know. And certainly not Americans. There's not very many of them in Mexico City. But he left, brought his guitar and came. And he's been working with us ever since. Now, Danielle is so significant in our ministry because he is always behind John. You know, and when you have somebody watching your back all the time, you know, it's neat. And I have picked that up from John. Always used to say that it's not the captain that runs the ship, it's the XO. And it's the XO that always makes the captain look good. And because he's always in the background, you know, picking up, smoothing over, preparing ahead, you know, watching and protecting the captain. Well, that's what Danielle has done for John for the last 13 years. Whether we knew it happening or not, he was always there. When John got arrested and on his way to jail, Danielle was our spy. He sat at the police station and listened. And when the lawyer came up with his little law book saying what the police could and couldn't do, we knew we were in trouble. So, and Danielle could pick up on that because he could listen and see where this was going. And so it involved a motorhome that was over $50,000 in value that he was accused of stealing. And so he was arrested. And then because the case was forming against John, because the lady was there putting all the demanded with her lawyer against John, he was able to tell us that this is not going well. And we didn't know that. We just thought John was down there having a gay old time. And especially when the police asked them to move, to get in the motorhome and drive it again. And John says, were you going to arrest me twice for driving this van twice, this motorhome? But then nobody knew how to drive it. And so there was a lot of things that were happening that we did not take serious because it just didn't seem like it was a serious event. But they were making arrangements to put John in jail, and they did put him in jail, and they were preparing to send him to Mexicali because they did decide that this was grand theft, which was over $50,000, and it has to be sent to Mexicali because it's more than what San Felipe can handle. And so because Danielle knew that the situation was really not going well at all, was able to contact our an attorney that we knew, because he was the attorney that Danielle was working for, was he worked in car theft and repos. That was his specialty. So, of course, he knew a lot about stolen cars. And so Danielle, when cars ended up in San Felipe, he would work for Renee and get the information to make sure they had the right car that had been stolen and left in San Felipe. So that rapport had already been made. We didn't know we were going to have to use him to get John out of jail. But he came down And he called the judge and told him not to hear anything until he got there. And so he arrived about 9:30 that night, and John began a jail ministry within a few hours. There was two young boys in jail with him, and he was in jail in a room about the size of that piano over there. And they were all sitting on the floor. There was no comforts or anything in this little tiny cell. And these two guys were going to Mexicali. And when you're in jail in Mexico, there's no food program to feed you, and nothing is given to you. You survive by giving whatever you have away to get food or whatever. And so when we brought John food that night, we brought them food, and then it was getting cold because it was late now. So we brought blankets down a little bit later. And then before they left that night to be transported to Mexicali, they both left with Bibles. And so, and he just, you know, John is like the otter in the back of the bus always playing, you know. And so he had a good time with these guys, got to spend time talking with them and sharing with them, and just made them feel better, because it's pretty scary when you're that young being shipped off to Mexicali prison. And so, anyway, that's who Daniel is, and that's, he's just such an important part of everything that has ever happened in 99 Plus One. When he and Carla got married about 10 years ago, I have two really super neat little guys. I hope you get to meet them before they leave. And they have a daughter, Alejandra, who's in the university now in Ensenada. Carla is a teacher. Danielle's a teacher. He also teaches kinder and music. Carla, what kind of a degree do you have? A master's or a doctorate? Doctorate in education, primary education. And so I really want you to hear Carla, because she's got some really, really neat stuff to share with you. And this past year has been a horrendous year for all of us, more for them and the family. Everything that happened to Carla this year involved having a two-hour drive. It didn't matter if it was lab work, x-rays, chemo, radiation, surgery, doctor's appointments. Involved a two-hour drive to get there, and then a two-hour back. So that's 4 hours for every single day she had a doctor's appointment for her cancer. And so she is finished with that, and she can tell you the good story about that. And I want you to meet Carla. This is Carla Roldan, and this is Danielle. You can stand up so they can see your face. And these two are the future of 99 Plus One, because when I get too old and get replaced, get the boot, these two are going to be there. So this is Carla.
Terminaste? Mm-hmm. Hi. My name is Carla. God bless you. I want to speak about two things. I want to give you thank you for all your prayers, and I want to share with you what my testimony, and that way you can share with other people that God answered our prayers. I have the diagnostic of breast cancer last March. And I have a process of treatment like chemo and radiation, but in every new thing I have to do for this cancer, I was thinking like a son, like a daughter of God. Every time, and so when I have to receive my first chemo, I pray for the chemo, and I tell the chemo, you are not going to be bad with me, because God, I am God's daughter. So I got all my chemos, and when the doctor told me that I have to take it, I don't want it. And Daniel asked me why, and I don't was afraid from the sickness with chemo. I only was afraid for my hair. And when he asked me, why do you want chemo? I say, because I don't want to lose my hair. So, and I was crying because I don't want to lose my hair. I have a lot of hair, and my hair, my head was, it's little. When I see my head without hair, I say, my sister say, you have a little head. And I always think I have a big head, but it was my hair. So when he told me, only for that you don't want chemo, in that moment I see that it's more important things than the hair. But when I have this, doctor told me those things, every time they tell me, you are going to be sick, you are going to be this and this and this, I was telling inside me, it's not going to happen to me. So every time that people said, are you fine? Well, we have a funny story about people who's asking for me to my husband or my sister, or, and they ask, how is Carla? And my sister always says, oh, she's fine. You can invite her to eat and you're going to see that he's fine. Because I eat a lot, I sleep a lot. So all the people that see me, they say that I don't look like a cancer person. And I say, always I respond them that it's because God is with me and he's my strength. So when some people know that doctor says that to me, they treat me that like if I'm going to die. They think like, oh, you have cancer, you are going to die. And I say, well, I'm going to die one day, but I don't know when. Only God knows when. And on all the treatment, chemo and radiation, I have the best service. In Mexico, not all the people can reach a doctor. So I know some people in this way. And too many people, they don't have money to treat their cancer. So I was blessed by God. And when this first diagnostic came to me, the only thing I do, it was remember what Romans 8:28 says, that everything is for good for those who believe in him. And all that treatment is that. And I was praying one day and say to God, you know what? This is your problem. It's not my problem. This cancer is yours. So you have to fix this. You have to put all the things that I'm going to need, you have to put them, because I am their daughter. And you promised to me you are going to be with me always. So he moved all the things in my work. In Mexico, we have not so good politics for work. I am a federal teacher. So you can, if you don't work, you don't have your pay. But the people is in San Felipe in church of all of us. They told me that I'm not going to be working, but I'm going to be receiving my money. And I didn't ask for that. I didn't ask for that. I only say to God, you are going to fix this. My house, my work, my health, everything. And he took control of any little detail from all my treatment. So before I knew Jesus with my mind, but now I know him with my heart, because I learned to depend on his hand every day. In Mexico, we have a little song. It says, un día a la vez. It means one day at a time. So I learned to live one day at a time. In the process of this cancer, I know about people. It's dying. People that I care about, 12 people. And I say, well, maybe I can die tomorrow. I can die today. I can die in 100 years. I don't know. But the most important thing is not how are you going to die. It's where are you going when you die, and what are you leaving here? So when you pass away, the people can remember you for something special, like take him or her to Jesus. And so I don't see that cancer like something bad to my life, because like I understand that day all the things are for good to the people who believe in them, in him. So I believe in him every day, and when I wake up every morning, I remember that his mercy has new every day. And I give thanks for the day, I give thanks him for my kids, and I never think that I'm going to die from cancer. I think, well, God, I don't know when I'm going to be with you, but in this process, I want to be in your hands. Like a little boy, I remember when my boys was kids, babies, and I was walking maybe in a dark way, and I carry him, and I cover with a blanket so they can see things that maybe scare them, and they don't feel nothing can damage him, because I was carrying them and protect them. So I think, well, I am your daughter, God. So if I can do those things for my kids, you are going to do with for me more things. And he do it. And I am so joyful that I can tell you that when you believe in God, maybe that things are not going to be like you want, but his plans are perfect. And I don't know when this thing start happening. I said, I don't know how are you going to give me a solution, but I know you're going to give me. So give me the peace for wait in you. And he put all the people I need. He put John and Bunny with my kids and my house, put my husband, put my dad, and a little friend of us, Yvette. She was studying physical therapist. So when I have my surgery, she comes to my house and give me some therapies in my arm, because doctor says I can move the arm and so many things. But she has 5 or 4 years studying, and he graduates just when I need her. So it's not a coincidence. It's God taking control of anything. And I when I hear from Bunny or from somebody, these people praying for you and those people praying for you, I say, thank you, God, because I don't know how, but I know that you are going to provide me all things I need. My family, my work, my friends, and another day to live for him. So I want to thank you for your prayers, and I'm here so you can see God answer our prayers. And only I have a little story about when you are in the hospital, they can give you this card you can use when you in your car. So when you go to a parking, you can use these spots. And I never asked for that. And in chemo, the nurse tell me, you can go to this part and have it. And when you came, because they say that chemo is making my body feel sick, so I can have the best parking. And I say, no, I always say that I am not sick. So if I got that sticker, it's like, oh yeah, I get the best part of this and the other part no. So I never ask for this sticker. And when we go to Walmart or some place that we don't have parking, my husband and my daughter say, see, you can get the sticker, so we have a nice park today. But I always say that I was healed, because the Bible says, and I see in internet one time, one preach from woman from Puerto Rico, Omaira Font, she write some words that explain us that we don't live for the what the people say, doctors or politicians, or we live for what God says. And if he says, if he has good things for us, we have to believe him. And in the paper that we have today, it's El Morado. Yeah, this one. And you know what? When we don't have storms in our lives, it's like cancer or drugs or any kind, sometimes we don't understand the Bible the same one that when we have these situations. Uh-huh. So I learned to live each versicle from the Bible, verse like this: for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And God gives me a peace. That peace is in the Bible that nobody is understanding. So I can go through the storm and I can be here happy with you. So I have to give thank you to you. Thank you, God, for his grace with all the people was praying for me, for all the people was with me, helped me with different things I need, for my boss in the work, that these people, it's the most people. My boss in San Felipe, she is a person that she's mean, but she, when she know about me, she ordered to the next boss that I don't have to work. I have two works, one from the 8 to 12, and one from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. And she told me, what do you need? What do you need? And I say, I only need to sleep more. And she told me, well, you are not going to work in the afternoon. So, but you are going to receive your payment. So she put another t-shirt in my place, and I can be in my house eating or sleeping or whatever I want. So when this thing was happening, I was sure that God was in control, because this lady was like a mean person. But with me, I know that God took her heart and tell her what to do with me, because I never asked for that. So that's more amazing, because I never ask them to leave in my house and give me my payment. So this is my short history. Last Friday I go with the oncologist. She told me that everything is fine. I'm going to be in remission. Every 3 months I have to go for exams, blood tests, and I'm very happy. I'm very happy because I have one day to live, and it's all only one day at a time. God bless you and thank you for all your prayers.
So God is at work, and we get to see firsthand what God is doing. And praise God. I'm so glad you could be here. So Danielle, we hear that you can play the piano. And so we've asked him if he would play for us. And the name of the song? Oh, yeah. So you know this song. It's a little song everybody ought to know. Yeah, and so we're going to sing, and he's going to play. And then I have one verse for you, and then we're going to close in prayer. So, but he tells me it's not the traditional. We'll let him get a little introduction here for us. You might have to help me. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. Who Jesus is. I don't know the rest of the verses. He's the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. Amen. And so Danielle is also a music teacher and teaches music, as Bonnie said. And what a great team God has put together in San Felipe. There's one verse from Scripture, Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live, I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And I was thinking with all the things, all the little different messages we had today, Jay talking to us about finances, and I think, so finances, that's an experience of Christ is living in me. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So everything I have belongs to the Lord, and we give to the ministry of God's work, the gospel work, because Christ is alive in me. And Pastor Rob was speaking about Sanctity of Life Sunday and how we stand for life and we're willing to swim upstream against the flow of society and what society says, because it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So we stand up for what is right. And Bonnie talks about the ministry of 99 plus 1, how God has taken them. And she only really mentioned the Serenity House and the soccer ministry. But there's a ministry, a rehabilitation ministry for people who have been caught in alcohol and drugs. And there's a whole team of people who are working with others in San Felipe in that area. There's a Serenity House ministry where they're carrying, you know, she didn't mention the fact that these six men who live in the Serenity House live there for free. In our society, if we go into an assisted care living facility, it's $3,000, $4,000, or $5,000, $6,000 a month that people pay to stay in an assisted living facility. And they care, by faith, for six men who have been either abandoned or have no ability to pay. And so that's part of their ministry. And then there's Sunshine Hacienda, and there's Casa de Fe, and there are all these different ministries that God has them be involved in. And I think, so why do we support things like that? Why do we want to have a part? And I just think, individually, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And so we want to be supportive of the ministries that God is doing. And then we hear Carla's testimony, how God saves and keeps. And Carla was not telling us that Christians don't go through suffering. We know that we go through suffering. But what we know is we live one day at a time, and that God is with us. And our life, and she didn't have a chance to tell you about the impact of her ministry with many other women who are going through cancer treatments, and how God has allowed her to be able to pray with them and talk with them about faith and knowing Christ. So I just want to just kind of wrap up today. We've heard lots of different things. But you guys, we belong to this incredible family of God. This incredible family of God where the Spirit of God is alive. And Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but while I live on this earth, it's Christ living in me, Christ living through me. And so we get to participate in all these different ministries. We get to participate with the Holy Spirit coming into our hearts, working in us, and using these vessels as a ministry to the world, the people that we get to know. So praise God. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for this ministry, this service today that we have been part of, and all these different facets of the Christian life. And God, thank you that you loved people one at a time. You took those 12 disciples and you invested in them one at a time. And God, you have placed us here with gifts and talents and abilities. And you have said to us, invest in my work, which is the gospel work. And so, God, we just pray that you'd make us fruitful. Help us in Somerset and Outingdale and Mount Ockham and River Pines and Grizzly Flats and Sand Ridge Road and Fairplay and all these different places. And Lord, in San Felipe. And God, use us to your honor and glory. God, we love you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for our changed lives. God, just keep working in us and through us. And may we say with Paul, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. We love you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. It's fun to talk about the Lord. So now let's go and do that. Go and have a nice lunch. God bless you.